It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening and welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Hope your first half of the summer went well. It goes by awfully quickly. Something that didn't go by quick enough for me, though, was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Now, I was really looking forward to it. For one thing, we know what happened last time. Trump, to his credit, wanted to come back as soon as possible, and he did. And I'm one of those ones that really thinks Trump's a funny guy, and people take him too seriously. And at the Al Smith dinner before the election, he was just hilarious. But this one was horrible. There were a few funny jokes, but for the most part, he just wasn't funny, and he said that himself. He finally, in the middle of his speech, said, "Who wrote that stuff?" So that, I must say, was very disappointing. But it's never disappointing to have columnist Mike Friedenberg on our show. About once a month or so, I like to catch up with his view on all that's been going on in the news. And there's always a whole lot more since his last time. Mike, welcome back to our program.
Yep. And just as usual, it's another slow week.
Yeah,
I was scraping the barrel trying to figure out what to talk about.
Well, the Iran war seems slow, like Groundhog Day, like the same day played again.
Yeah.
Again, folks, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing again and again, hoping for a different result. I was finally hearing that Trump was fed up, and we had 13 nights of strikes, and all of a sudden, through a great actor broker like Pakistan, we know how peaceful they are and how much they love America there, they want to make a deal again. I'm just so sick and tired of this. But anyway.
Is that how you really feel, Bob?
That's how I really feel, Mike.
Right. Well, anyway, I thought we might talk about the weather.
The weather.
The weather.
Well, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is still delightful.
Yeah, exactly. But it has been hot. Which, you know, I guess my skepticism on global warming is being disproven
over the last few days. Summer, it's proof of global warming. Then when we get a cold, exceptionally cold winter, that's proof also, because who said anything about warming?
It's just talking global climate change.
It's just now it switches to climate change.
Yeah, no, it is interesting.
Basically, if we have any kind of weather, period, it means climate change.
Yeah.
Because one thing about the climate, it's always changing.
Well, those hurricanes, too. It's all about climate change.
Yeah, and we've never had hurricanes before.
And literally, people in France are dying because we generate greenhouse gases to run our air conditioners.
Yeah, the people in France are dying because they don't allow them to have windows a normal size. They probably have mayors like Mondami telling them to keep their thermostats at 78.
I think the WHO did a study, and they said in Europe, something like 30,000 people had died over the last 5 or 6 years due to XX.
There's no way. I'm not saying none. There's exceptions, but no AC, very small windows, no cross currents, no nothing. What I still can't figure out, though, is how Trump was able to go back through time and during the Ice Age cause enough global warming to melt the Ice Age. I still haven't figured that one out.
Well,
but I know he was responsible for it somehow.
It is interesting. By the way, the elites, the rich people, they have air conditioning.
Oh, of course. They never live by the rules they want to pass for us.
Yeah. So it's anyway, but that's just an aside. However, it is interesting. I'll just say this is France. I actually saw a very positive press conference, like a White House type event with Trump, where he's with four companies that have brought brand new nuclear reactors online by July 4th of this year. And before that, it had been 50 years since we'd done that. 50 years. So his nuclear acceleration program, his nuclear dominance program, is really yielding good results. Now, the goal was 3, and he got 4. But just going back to Europe, France, by the way, was a big-time adopter of nuclear power, and they still have plenty of power. In fact, they sell power. So it's kind of surprising, unlike Germany, which is a place that's not very warm, does not have a lot of sunshine, but that got rid of all their power generation and even their nuclear power. France exports nuclear energy everywhere.
So much of that power, their concentration camps, they're probably having pangs of guilt after all these years.
Okay, fine. Okay. So anyway, it's just interesting. But I did I did actually did want to bring up a little, just a little change of pace topic. I'm a Padres fan, and it's interesting. The Padres have the ninth largest budget in Major League Baseball right now, but they're not performing like the ninth best team in Major League Baseball. I'll say that for sure. Now, earlier in the season, they were doing well, but I'll just give you an idea. You may not notice, like, you know, our top paid player right now on the Padres is Manny Machado, you know, and he's starting to come around, but his contract is $31 million a year, Bob, and he's got a $350 million contract over 11 years.
How does he tighten his money belt and live off that?
I don't know. Anyway, but he was batting below 200 for a lot of the season. Now, actually, so I'm going to give a positive report. Looking at the stats over the last month, it looks like Manny Machado starting to round into form, you know, starting to be where he should be at. Jackson Merrill is looking better. And Fernando Tatis Jr. is very interesting. I think, you know, he's one of the elite players on the team, and he went through reconstructive surgery on his shoulder. So he's been having to change his swing. And I was wondering what was wrong with him this year. And it turned out, I found out that he'd gone through that reconstructive surgery, and he's had to change his swing entirely. But even, you know, he was hitting the ball, getting on base, you know, high, decent batting average, 280, but not hitting home runs. Well, it turned out, though, he was still one of the top four players in Major League Baseball for how hard he's hitting the ball.
And that would be difficult to have a whole different way of swinging than you've been used to all your life.
Yeah, but he was hitting the ball in the top four in MLB, but still not getting homers. The thing was, he was hitting the ball at a 5-degree angle or a 10-degree angle, and to get a good, you know, home run hitting, you typically want to have that. Anyway, it looks like he's coming out of that, and he's adjusted his swing, so he's coming on board. So there's some room for some optimism there.
Well, maybe the next time he doesn't hit a homer, he could just say he identifies as somebody who did hit a homer. What on earth could the liberal left possibly say to that?
Yeah, I do think that's funny. But anyway, that's just this interesting something that I did investigate. And it's kind of interesting. The commentators never mentioned it. And I'm going, why isn't this happening? And I looked into it. So that's, you know, the little side there. So,
well, the reason why the commentators don't say it too much, I think, is because they want to skew the audience members to keep a positive light about the Padres. You know, you don't want to say, oh, this is the third worst hitting team in all of Major League Baseball. We are in the middle of the pack of pitching, even though we signed this many players and we should actually be in the top five for best pitching. But instead, we're in the middle of the pack. The only thing good about the Padres right now, or like very elite per se, is the fielding. Like, we are one of the best three teams in fielding percentage right now. So,
and we're getting a lot of steals too. I think we're top 3 or 4.
Yes, we are. So
that's the year.
Personally, what I said at the very beginning of the season, I said this team's going to be a 500 team. They're going to have the same amount of wins and losses, and they're going to miss the playoffs. And lo and behold, what's their record right now, Bob? 500. Same amount of wins, same amount of losses.
However, I do see some uptick.
Okay.
If Manny Machado continues his upward trend, which he is doing an upward trend, and Jackson Merrill continues hitting like he's hitting, and Fernando starts to hit home runs again like he's supposed to, right? Then you add in the other players that are, you know, Shields and what's that other guy? He's been carrying the
pot. Sheets.
Sheets has been doing Sheets, too. Anyway, we'll see. Anyway, that's just an aside.
I will say this, too. You'll have two easy teams coming up. The Colorado Rockies, San Francisco Giants. Yeah. Those are two easy teams. You should win those series. After that, that's where it gets kind of hard because you have Arizona, Milwaukee, and Cleveland.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's where it's going to get really tough for your team. So if you're going to make yourself look good, here we go. This is the time. So,
but going on to a different topic, they had Senator Ron Johnson on this morning with Maria Bartiromo. And I really like Ron Johnson a lot, you know, Senator Johnson.
He's got one heck of a difficult job.
He does. Now, he's taking over as the head of the Senate Budget Committee from Lindsey Graham. He's really a solid guy. He's one of my favorite senators.
Yeah,
Very solid. But I do want to say a little something about Lindsey Graham. My wife, Michaeline, did have a chance to meet him and found him to be funny, personable,
charming. About everybody who's met him.
Charming. And so that's, you know, that's a positive thing. And something I did not know about him is that he took on the responsibility of raising his little sister.
Who has taken over for him.
Which is highly admirable. And then he's, you know, he was in the military up through the rank of colonel, you know. I mean, he wasn't a frontline fighter. He was an attorney in the military, but still, you know, honorably serving the military for 32 years. So, I mean, those are good, positive qualities.
And his sister is now going to run for the next term.
And I'm not sure if I like that. But
I did. Sean Hannity was interviewing her, and this was the first time he said, "Are you going to run?" And she just said, "Yes, I am." Instead of, "Well, Sean, right now I'm just focused on the next 2 months, but we'll see what the American people." It was so nice to hear a straight answer to that question
Well, I'm not going to say no, but there's a guy, I think his name's Burnham or something like that. He's from the Freedom
Caucus.
He
might be good, but the people that liked Lindsey, I mean, we got to make sure this replacement gets elected.
And well, I think
his sister might have a chance just because
I believe that in that state that there's zero chance it's going to be a problem. I think that he's,
okay, well, that's good to hear.
So we'll just get there, but we'll see. Now, with that said, all those things said,
Brendan and I gave him kind of a mixed review.
He's kind of a bit of too much of a war hawk for me.
Well, yeah, when it comes to the Ukraine, I think you and I are on the same page with Ukraine, but when it comes to Israel and Iran, I'm more with Lindsey on that.
Okay, that's fine. He was like, we have drones, 724 surveillance, surveilling Russia and giving real-time targeting information to Ukraine. So we have been responsible for killing tens of thousands of Russian troops. And so they bump one of our drones. And Lindsey Graham's like, we should go to war with Russia. I mean, it was a bit over the top. Okay, yeah. That's ridiculous.
All right, well, hold that thought, Mike. We will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. Mike, I wanted to get your opinion on this. I brought it up briefly with Brendan last week. The speech that Trump gave about the election fraud and things that our government has known, but that under previous administrations and even his own administration, the first time was covering up the deep state. Fox News, to their credit, aired the entire speech, although several other networks did not. The next morning, Fox News went completely dark on it, just like back in 2020. Wasn't mentioned on Fox and Friends by Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters, Will Cain. Since then, there's been a modicum of discussion, but mostly over the SAVE Act, which relates to it a little bit, but they were already talking about that. And in New Jersey, the governor came out and admitted some election fraud, so that's connected to it a little bit. But for the most part, they've still gone dark on that. Any thoughts? And any thoughts about what was uncovered in your opinion of what Trump was saying?
Well, I mean, I will say this, is they did uncover that the intelligence services directly worked to conceal Chinese involvement
so this means
with the election cycles.
Comey, they were lying to the president. Clapper and people that had those positions when
they
Trump was in power the first time.
So they lied about it. We now know that there was no extensive investigations of election fraud run by the FBI or the Department of Justice. So, in other words, it's never been really thoroughly investigated by the federal government.
They uncovered a lot about China interfering with our elections, all kinds of things.
Yes, they did. And so it wasn't surprising that the major networks, you know, the legacy media didn't cover it. It was nice that Fox covered it, but they did get really, really burned last time on some of the stuff. They had some people on that frankly went off a little bit crazy on some of the election fraud items, and Fox had them on a lot. So I think that they're a little bit gun shy on the topic. They shouldn't be, because it was a report that should have been covered, but I think that there was some corporate types that just did not have the guts to do it. Now, Maria Bartiromo was one of the few people that stuck with it last time.
Well, I remember the first few days. After a while, I didn't remember hearing her
talk about it. No, she did stick with it longer than anybody else.
Okay. And because wasn't there a memo or a lawsuit being threatened against Fox? Weren't they given orders from above?
I remember her was, she was one of the best on that.
So I heard that John Eastman got disbarred over it, and yet when asked to produce his evidence, he brought in hundreds and hundreds of things.
Yes.
It just never really saw the light
of day. Listen,
and the poor guy got disbarred.
There's a lot of false narratives around that. For example, the idea that it went through judicial review. No. There was only two out of all the supposed lawsuits.
The judiciary would never take the cases.
Well, they would basically, they would take them on briefly.
And
they would say
there's no standing,
or they would say, well, wait a minute, you should have brought it up before the election.
Yeah,
now it's after
the
fact.
Is actually looking
but
at
as far
the,
as going
they
through,
didn't look at the actual
there was
evidence.
Thousands of testimony of closed seal testimonies that were never opened up, sealed testimonies that were never opened up, under oath, that were never investigated. So it was a false narrative around the whole judicial thing. That's what people do that are lazy. Oh, all these courts look at it, they didn't find anything. Well, they didn't look at it. They refused to look at it. I think they were terrified to look into it because, I mean, okay, let's give you an example. In Chicago, the canvassers, the people responsible for certifying the election, they, when they said, oh, there's some election irregularities, there are actually more things here of this type of, I forget as I was, than actually there are voters. They had death threats on their family and their kids. We will come and rape your daughter. That's what they said. So there was a lot of pressure out
there. This is a nightmare for our country. Now, related to this, Mike, the SAVE Act, I know why the Democrats don't want it passed. Because they want these illegal people voting in our elections. Why don't the Republicans want it passed? Even John Thune says, well, I could get the votes if I want to. You know, a person that's the majority leader, he could get those votes if he wanted to. I don't think he wants it to pass either. What's going on there?
Well, first of all, I agree. I don't think John Thune wants it to. Well, let's put it this way.
What would be his reason for not
truly
wanting
it to pass? Let's put it this way.
He's acting like he does, but he just doesn't.
I actually think it's one level below that. Once you get rid of the filibuster, right? There's the Trump, and I don't know all these denies, but there's a lot of stuff Trump would like to get done.
That they don't want to do.
That they don't want to get. So they basically, they might individually say, okay, if we could limit it just to the Save America Act election, they might be for it. But if they open that door, then all of a sudden they're on the hook to pass a whole bunch of other stuff.
And you know my thoughts on the filibuster, but the thing is they're talking now about connecting it to a defense bill, a mandatory defense renewal bill where they wouldn't need to stop the filibuster. And it sounds like we're still going to have some Republicans that don't vote. So in its own right, there are still Republicans that don't want to pass.
We will have
because they're really part of the deep state like
Trump's
been telling
us all
along.
I think that's part of it. And I do, and also I think is that a lot of these folks, some of these Republicans could show up to really ritzy elite events and still be accepted. But if you vote for all this kind of legislation, you're on the outs. You're persona non grata.
And some of them are using the states. Well, we don't want to interfere with the states. But the truth is, if it's a federal election, then it's the federal idea that's supposed to count.
You remember
the states can do whatever they want in their own local elections.
Remember when all those states, I would think it was 14, banded together to present, you know, some election fraud concerns to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, they didn't seem to care about state rights.
And
then they
said no standing.
Yeah. But now when they don't want to pass the SAVE Act, then they were all of
but
a sudden.
But the point is if election fraud happens in another state and it changed the election results, that state has disenfranchised the voters of your state. That's so clear-cut math that, you know, you can't do it. Just like when a voter votes illegally, when somebody who should not vote votes,
it cancels out my vote.
They're disenfranchising
you.
Exactly. So they talk about, you know, this you know, oh, there might be an administrative glitch. You know, some teeny percentage of people might be impacted by this. There's ways to handle that. And the reason the Democrats don't want it is that
they want the votes.
They do not want it to make it tougher on committing election fraud. That's what I believe is true.
And the Democrats for years have been saying, oh, there's no evidence that people who are here illegally have been voting. Now, with this new socialist wing, they're coming out and literally bragging about the fact that in our agenda, everybody who lives here is a citizen, completely open borders. Of course, they'll be able to vote. And we're going to shut down the Senate. And we're going to shut down the judiciary.
We're going to get rid of the presidency.
Yeah, and the Republicans sit there and go, well, we could stop this maybe if we pass the SAVE Act, but I don't really want to die. But it is absolute insanity.
Well, right now, let's just be blunt. The reason we don't have the say that is because of the Senate Republicans. That's it. They are responsible.
Spineless, feckless, deep state.
And it's not the no, it's not the Democrats. But somebody gets on and talks that does not support getting rid of the filibuster and talks about, you know, how much support
the
there
Democrats
is for
are
this.
They're going to get rid of it in the first 5 minutes.
If only we get six Democrats, we can get it passed.
They're going to get rid
of
it within 5 minutes.
I don't
want
to listen to that person because right now we both know that it would be a picosecond.
Yeah,
if they got the power, it would be a picosecond for
everybody
the Democrats.
Everybody knows it. And then you add to that the fact that they won't pass the SAVE Act is disenfranchising the MAGA voters. So them not passing the SAVE Act is almost guaranteeing that they're going to lose this midterms election, which chances are they were going to lose that anyway. But anyway,
we'll talk more about that.
All right. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle, so when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539. W&S Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with columnist Mike Friedenberg. We were talking about the SAVE Act and the fact that some Republicans don't want to pass. And I was mentioning that even if they didn't succeed, unless the MAGA supporters see them trying really hard, they're going to just feel like they were betrayed and that their promises were broken.
One of the things that it's a Republican problem, it's been this way for a long time, is they get into office, they have power, then they're terrified that they'll do something that will hurt their ability to stay in power. Meanwhile, when Democrats get in office, they actually get things done that excite their base and their supporters. Right now, you have people that voted for Trump and voted to keep the Congress and the Senate in Republicans' hands. Okay,
they feel betrayed.
The Big Beautiful Act is really got a ton of good stuff in this. We don't want to forget about that.
Yeah, but nobody's talking about that. And the thing is, that's my own political theory. The biggest problem with politics today is Republicans do not keep their campaign promises and Democrats do.
Yep.
But they promise hideous things.
Yes, but they just go ahead and do it. Man, I could make all sorts of excuses, but that bottom line is the Republicans, feckless is a word that just seems to be a perfect description of them far too often.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the nicest words. Brendan, you had some thoughts.
Well, a couple of things, what you literally just stated there. I would actually argue that while you could argue that maybe Democrats do have certain policies that they try to follow through, unfortunately, they're still wasting our time still and still not actually progressing the country in any sort of way.
Oh, I mean, the things they're promising, if you really listen to them, anybody should know that that's not really going to progress the country.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
They are doing those things.
I'm saying that it's not happening right now while Trump is in presidency.
Right,
I still
true.
Think his policies are still trying to get pushed through. Now, one of the things that is the biggest issue and one of the biggest helpers for the Democratic Party, for that matter, has been the federal court system. Anytime Trump has tried to push out any executive order, it's been absolutely stopped.
Right, but if Congress passes something, they're going to have a harder time overturning that in court.
It's
not
true.
That it hasn't happened.
Exactly.
The Save Marriage Act was overturned.
Yeah.
But the thing is, let's say that happened and it got overturned. If at least the MAGA supporters saw the Congress get off their butts and pass that, that might at least help us in the midterms.
It's a fair point, yes. And then thus the support levels of the Supreme Court, which are already low as it is, may lower even more for that matter too on that fact. So, I mean, it is a very, very pushback situation, but that was one of my questions I had off the air with you guys was if I was to play devil's advocate in this situation is what if the Republican Senate would be saying, well, it's just going to get overturned by the Supreme Court, so what's the point of pushing?
I do not believe that's the case.
But again, even if it was, the MAGA supporters need to see them keep their promises, and then if the court overrules it, they'll blame the court.
Well, yeah. Yes. Yeah, but that's not, I have.
Maybe, Mike, but John Roberts could do anything, and so could Amy Coney Barrett.
I'm not saying what the Supreme Court would do. What I'm saying is that's
the lower courts will overturn.
That's not the reason the U.S. Senate is not passing it. The fear of the Supreme Court. I don't believe that's the case. I just think they don't want the rest of the Trump agenda because once you get rid of the filibuster, then they're on the hook to get
it done. But again, they're talking about ways to get the SAVE Act passed without the filibuster, so they've got to come up with a different excuse for that.
Then you've got John Thune saying, oh my gosh, the parliamentarian's God. And if he says I can't put this stuff in the bill, I can't do it.
Parliamentarian. Yeah, turn to the part of the Constitution that tells us run by a parliamentarian.
But no, that's tradition.
It's a time-honored tradition. So what if we send our country down the toilet and give it over to the Democrats? We at least had the integrity to honor our time-honored tradition. And we didn't do it for ourselves. We did it for the American people.
For whatever reason, it's not impressive. I did not like Thune from the beginning. He did get the big beautiful move through, but he was.
I'm glad they at least did that. And if they could talk about that a lot more, that sure would help. But you hardly hear a word about it.
But he was one of the Mitch McConnell inner circle people, one of the establishment Republicans.
Mitch McConnell.
So I always thought that he would be somewhat problematic as the Senate leader. But since we brought the midterms, I did do some analysis there. And by the way, since the 1930s, there's only been three times when the party, the incumbent presidential party, has picked up seats in the midterms.
And one of them was George W. Bush.
I think it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And then the other one was Bill Clinton. But nobody else has done it. It's very hard to do. However, what's very interesting is...
Actually, I remembered Clinton lose the first, but he the first
did,
two but years he, of Clinton.
But he
lost,
did have... But he did.
But in his second term, he
Yes,
kept
he did
them.
Have a time okay. when he picked up some seats. That was the third time. So now the thing that's also interesting when you look at the numbers is that the bigger the majority the party in power has, the more seats they lose. So if you have a 257-vote majority, you're much more likely to lose 30, 40 votes in the election down. When you get down to like narrow margins, you lose less. So we're talking about one or two or three seats.
So it's kind of a 50-50 shot at this point.
Okay. It's not 50-50.
How much do you think the redistricting is helping?
The analysis is that it's 5 to 9 seats, with the consensus being that it's plus 6 seats. However, when you look at the competitive races right now, and then you look at the generic ballot, the RCP average generic ballot, which is 5.3% points for the Democrats, up by 5.3%, that usually indicates a pretty decent Democrat year.
I know there's some polls that you like better. Are any of them being more
they're,
positive?
They're all right now showing the Democrats have an advantage.
Okay, even the polls you trust.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, we're still only talking July here, and things can change. So I'm not counting it out yet. It's just to level set expectations, it is extraordinary to pick up seats in the midterm elections. It really is. And then you add in a unpopular president, which right now Trump is, and it makes it even harder.
It does. Okay. Well, we'll make it even harder than that when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church.
That's what I want for our next president, Ferris Bueller, whose bumper music we're playing right now. He can make a new film called AOC's Day Off. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So I was going to talk about the primaries, but more so. The odds are typically stacked against the incumbent party, okay? I mean, just be real. However, the redistricting does help. The Republicans, and here's another thing, the Supreme Court ruling on, you know, election campaign finance and getting rid of that law, that does create more of a level field for Republicans that we have not seen for decades and decades.
Republicans are ahead in what they've raised, I understand.
Well, they are, and that's good. That's a chunk of money. But really when it's going to really come into effect is that now the Democrats have always had the public employee unions, just the massive money they can bring into the table, plus the manpower. And the Republicans have had nothing to counter that. So now some really big Republican donors can dump huge amounts of money into the races. So it doesn't make up for the manpower side of things that the unions can bring out, but it does help level the playing field on the money side of things. So that's good news. So that's a positive there. So let's just say it's so sad because there's so many awesome things Trump has done and people just can't remember them because they just keep looking at this stupid war. And the war is just killing it. People are just focused on it. And the media just loves to focus on it, the legacy media, because they know by focusing on the war, we're ignoring all the wonderful things President Trump has done. There's no president that has done more in office that, from my perspective, having even been a first vote being for Ronald Reagan, nobody's done more in office than President Trump. Nobody. It's not even close. All the great things he's done. The federal government is the smallest it's been since I think, the 1960s. It's insane just how many good things he's done. He's got the nuclear power back into the thing. He's combated DEI. He's combated the transgender crud. I mean, it's just everything down the line. He's taken on DEI in the military really effectively. Now, the one thing I will say is, and I'm very picky about this stuff, he hasn't really effectively taken on the military-industrial complex. That's one thing he has not taken on. They've done some tweaks. They've tried to implement, you know, advice from the military-industrial complex, how to improve itself, but that's not real reform. And then he's also talking about a $1.5 trillion defense budget, which I just 100% disagree with. We're not spending the $1 trillion budget we have annually wisely now. $1.5 trillion would just make things worse. We could actually get weaker with a $1.5 trillion budget, I believe, just because just how poorly we just spend our money. So that's the one area I will say that I mean, but it's just, but everything else. And people are getting healthy tax rebates. The people that work in the tips industry are getting money back. You're on Social Security, you're getting money back. I mean, it's the record numbers of money flowing into people's.
Well, how much are those individuals that are getting those breaks going to remember that during the midterms? Will at least those people getting the breaks remember that?
I think that they'll be somewhat conscious of it. But once you get it, it's pretty sad. It's like, even Trump brought this up. You know, once he secures the border, then it's not an issue anymore. People don't care about it. They just say, oh, it's done.
And then his other promise was to deport people massively, but then everybody's interfering with ICE on the streets when they try to do that.
Actually, though, ICE is still quietly deporting a whole heck of a lot of people. There was these.
Is the country aware of how many he's deporting?
I don't think so.
Because I keep hearing complaints that he's not deporting enough.
No, and I don't
like
think they
promised.
Are. So there's a lot of stuff that's happening that's still going on that's you know, very effective. And he has been aggressively taking on, you know, some of the trade stuff with China. But once again, the courts have jumped in and interfered, you know, even the Supreme Court. However, even with what we have, all these court interferences really highlighted and they sit in
he's
our mind.
He's still gotten an awful lot done.
But he's gotten a lot of stuff done in spite of the court stuff. And stuff's still happening. He's still getting a lot done. Let's say we don't even get a Republican president after this term and we get a Democrat. I think they're going to find it harder to roll back and to go forward with the DEI stuff like they did before. They're going to find it harder to push the transgender stuff like they did before. People that were uncomfortable about all that stuff, Trump gave them permission to speak out. Now that they've come out of the closet and said, oh, I don't like the stuff, they're not going to just go back into the closet and let the Democrats run roughshod over them. So I do think that he's really made a difference.
Although there's still some doubling down even now. In Minnesota, they just came out with these transgender dolls where you could remove parts of the anatomy, and it's paid for by the taxpayers of Minnesota, thanks to our dear Governor Waltz.
Well, you know what? He's doing that. I can't believe that that's getting him any votes in Minnesota.
Well, he's not even running for governor anymore.
Right, so he doesn't care. So he basically, he's just, you know, he's feathering his nest with the left-wing radicals, and he'll be brought on CNN as a color commentator and make, you know, $100,000, $200,000 there. He'll do this. I mean, he doesn't care. Like you said, he doesn't have to get reelected, so why not?
It reminds me of Al Green right now. He's just yelling and yammering in the Congress right now. He's going to be gone.
He's gone, too.
Oh, yeah. And then there's Al Green, the singer, and he's actually very left-wing, too, but that's a whole other case there. But he's good. I like him. He's had some good songs. So we need 218 to win, and there's something like, let me look at my notes here, 361 safe seats, if I recall correctly. Yeah, 361, 180 solid Republican, 181 solid Democrat. Then there's 18 seats that are considered pure dead toss-ups. So, you know, it really is down to a small number. So if we can get awesome candidates, and listen, the candidates matter. If you can get some awesome candidates in these seats, it's exciting people, then that can make a difference, you know, at the individual congressional races. So it's not completely impossible. It's just.
But Iran is playing them for a chump because they're going to keep this pattern of let the war continue, try to make a deal, let the war. And their whole strategy is to string it out to the midterm.
They are, however.
He's got to stop the
deals. One thing I will say is, and this is just more on a, I haven't done the solid research, but I'm just getting the impression that for many people, whereas this was exciting upfront stuff, you know, everybody was excited about it and he's like, oh my God, look what's going on. If for people, it's becoming more background noise. It's just becoming background noise, and
that's
it's not
true.
Having the
and
impact.
If we could at least keep the Strait of Hormuz open and let the gas prices go down, then maybe the war in the minds of the people will drift into the background.
But
right now, the Houthis are attacking
in the Red Sea,
and Trump's not doing anything about it. He's talking about making a deal.
However, the world in general, including the Middle East, is figuring out ways around Iran completely. They're building pipelines. They're altering their patterns. So I, for short
term, they're not going to figure it out before November.
Well, no, but the thing is, I want to say this. Iran is being severely damaged and weakened by this whole thing. And it's going to be long term, in fact, it's not just going to come
back.
And
that's very good. Okay, we'll be back for one more segment.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to our program and one more segment. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So without belaboring the point, I think there's still chance if things go the right way to hold on to the House. It's an uphill battle, but it could happen.
If not, it's going to be impeaching Trump for chewing a pack of gum when he was in the sixth grade.
Well,
in
there's
class.
Already many impeachable offenses that he's committed, of course. So, I mean, we just know that's a given. I hope that the U.S. Senate just says we're not going to accept it, because they have the ability to just not even accept it.
But you know what? The Democrats will want to posture and pass it anyway. Even if the Senate says, don't waste your time, we're not even going to look at it.
Yeah,
they will go through it anyway.
However,
I guarantee
it would be
you.
A step forward if the Republican-controlled Senate just said, forget it.
Just had some gravitas for once in their stupid lives.
Yes, it had some guts. It just said, we don't care. You know, this is ludicrous. We're not going to even pay attention.
Republicans, suck it up and keep your promises.
Yes. So back to this whole business with Iran. Now, from the very beginning, the Joint Chief of Staff Chairman is a Air Force General, Kane, I think. And the Air Force ideologically has wanted to be the equivalent of other forces. They want to think that they can alone determine the outcome of war. Historically speaking, that's not true.
We have four branches for a reason.
But they can't. To really win a war, typically, and decisively win it, you need ground power. And that's just not on the table right now. So I always felt that, you know, that the premise, I think Trump, that this war with Iran went nothing like his advisors told him it was going to go. I think it was much tougher. I think he thought that our anti-air defenses would protect the U.S. bases from getting attacked. They didn't. In fact, we had to relocate our bases because they were getting slammed by Iranian ballistic missiles and drones. So I just think this whole thing has been a much bigger mess than Trump. Now, I will say this, that this can was kicked down the road by every president, you know, since
And we've
Carter.
Got to give him credit for taking
No, and right. I do give him credit for it, and I fully agree with him that a nuclear-armed Iran would be a nightmare for the entire world. It would embolden them. Right now, they're labeled as the number one sponsor of terrorism. They would accelerate it with the idea, hey, go take a flying leap, because if we don't like what you do, we can just, you know, set off a nuclear bomb someplace.
Well, Mike, I agree with you that probably to win this thing, we would need some boots on the ground. It seems to me that the problem is people are conflating some of these nation-building, year-after-year, endless wars with the idea of boots on the ground. Couldn't we put some boots on the ground and still have it be a much shorter war?
No.
With a goal? It would have to last years and years and years?
No, I don't think it would have to last years, but it would be, first of all, our military is not anywhere near the same shape in terms of numbers and quality, I'm sorry to say it, as it was during the first Gulf Wars under George W.
So
Bush.
So what do you think is the alternative then? What
we don't
be
have
done?
The number of troops.
And what can we
do? And remember the massive coalition we were able to build up there. It took time. We're not able to do that right now.
Well, then
quickly.
What do we do? Just throw up our arms and say we can't win this
I
thing?
I do think that Iran has never faced this before. They are getting slammed. Now, I do think that maybe our estimates are a bit optimistic at what percentage of ballistic missiles we've destroyed and, you know, their launchers. But they have their conventional military, their conventional navy's gone. They don't have an air force. The ships that were the pride of the Iran Navy are sunk at the bottom. Their submarine forces are gone, as far as I know. So they took a slam. They have alienated. They were the big bully. People were afraid of Iran. And nations are now coming aboard, coming out against Iran, other Middle East nations. So they really have hurt themselves.
Well, couldn't we arm the civilians there that don't like them and turn Israel loose? I know that is a big PR issue when you mention Israel's name, but they are a faithful ally. If we turned them loose and then armed the citizens in Iran that are revolting, then maybe we wouldn't have to put that many boots on the ground.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's just because Iran's such a big country, 90 million people. And the one thing that we have not really attacked is we've not really attacked the military. They're actually soldiers. Their army has not really been attacked. The Revolutionary Guard has not been attacked.
Maybe a bomb or two that direction would be in order.
And there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people.
That would help. We should get rid of some of them.
Maybe. But I honestly think that, it's a complex thing. I believe that the goal, when we did all those decapitation strikes, it was a calculated gamble. Because if they don't work, then what you have is
Trump was assuming they'll make a deal after we do this.
Well, no, he was assuming that he was hoping that the people would rise up. There'd be enough stability.
That's true.
But when it didn't happen.
Well, I can't blame them. The last time they rose up, thousands of them were executed.
30,000.
Because they don't have any arms on them.
30,000.
Yeah, so what are we expecting them to
do? Well, okay, but I think that was the plan.
But if we were to arm them and then encourage
That didn't happen, what you had is, people that were now in charge, whose brothers were slaughtered, their wife was killed, their children were killed by these strikes. I mean, a lot of stuff, the damage was done. That doesn't make them more amenable to wanting to do deals. What it makes them more amenable to, more excited about doing, is getting revenge. So that's who we're negotiating with now. So that there was something that did not go well.
Well, we're also dealing with people that believe in jihad, believe in going to paradise and having 70 virgins.
Right.
And so you just can't make a deal with people like that. Okay, just a couple more minutes, Mike, finish us off.
Anyway, so Iran economically is just destroyed. They've never been in this position before. I mean, this is the worst they've suffered. Even their state minister of finance got it said that we've reached a new low in the economy. Even the state minister of finance said that from Iran. You add that up, you keep the pressure on, you put a solid blockade
it's the blockade that's got to be there for
the blockade
years.
And economic
the
sanctions.
The blockade's got to become a permanent staple for a few years.
Right. And then
maybe that's it. Go back home after that.
That basically, if we can do that, and then you selectively keep on hitting them with good targets become available, you keep on hitting them and you just keep that up. It's sadly, though.
But can he at least do that and say no more deals? Just you leave the Strait of Hormuz open. Every time you attack a ship, we're going to attack you. No more. Trump, I know you like deals, but no more deals.
But Bob, you're probably in a minority.
He wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. He's not going to get a deal this time. And even if he does, they're not going to honor
his rhetoric about deals is not for you. It's not for me. It's for what he believes people want to hear to try to position himself better in the midterms. He probably agrees with you, Bob, but he's still going to say that rhetoric.
I'm on record as someone that doesn't want to hear about it anymore.
Bob, really?
Yeah, you would have never guessed. Mike, always a pleasure having you on. We'll see you next week, everybody.
In conclusion, Bob really does believe a deal will work. That's the final analysis.
Yeah, sure I do.
Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.